This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
All right, hour two, Taz of the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Mikey B, Connor Green across the way, other side at the controls. AB sitting in for the vacationing Taz, off today, back with us tomorrow. Remember, we got the double dip, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time right here on CBS Sports Radio, and then the NFL Draft Special with Taz and myself, 8 p.m. to midnight, Thursday night, round one of the NFL draft on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius 206, XM 206, Sirius XM App 206. Remember, can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention, hotline fans.
Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz of the Moose, at Mark Malusis with a C. Bogish, what is your Twitter handle?
It's just my name, at Andrew Bogish.
And how do you spell Bogish?
B-O-G-U-S-C-H. Good question.
U-S-C-H.
Yeah, the extra...
Not U-S-H.
No, and that C has been a problem for my entire life. It's
really
a little unnecessary, throws people off, but it's there.
Well, I have the Mark, C-R-K.
Right.
Even people that have met me and I've worked with and that I've hired me, still at times spell my name with a K. It's annoying.
Jerks.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a severe lack of respect.
And I don't know about you. I mean, I spend a lot of time with my wife going through kids' names to like have all of these issues avoided. Bad nicknames, like my mom is Colleen, but with only one L, which is not the traditional way. So her whole life, people misspelled her name kind of like you. Like, I wanted to avoid all of these things. We try to find as obvious and regular and no different spellings, no different pronunciations. It's just their names.
Right. And we talked about last hour, Saquon Barkley. His first child's name is Jada?
Jada, yes.
Jada, J-A-D-A?
Right.
Right, beautiful name. Right? Yeah. Beautiful name. And my advice to anybody that's going to be a parent, right, wife, girlfriend, pregnant, what have you, adopting, it does not matter. You're going to welcome a child into your home is make sure that you have the understanding that that child has to live with that name for the rest of their lives. That would be
forever.
So that's my bit of advice. Like, it's okay to be creative to an extent. Don't go off the wall and go bat blank crazy, because the problem you have is 25 years from now, you have to have the understanding that, you know, that person's going to make a dinner reservation. They're going to go out on a date, whatever it might be. They're working someplace. And the last thing you want to be is like, you know, what's your name? Apple.
Yeah. That's what your middle name is for.
Yeah.
With the middle name.
Right. Nobody uses the middle name.
Right.
The middle name
Scott
is
Scott Commander Jones.
Right,
do that.
The middle name is as useless as if you're Catholic as the confirmation name. Right? It's nothing, you know, you get confirmed, you have your confirmation name, you do your report, you study up on a saint, you file it away, they confirm you, you have your confirmation name, and you never hear from it again.
I don't even remember mine. It's either Peter or Philip. I don't remember.
Right. Mine was, you want to hear a great confirmation story? Mine's Paul, right?
Okay.
And little, so my middle name is Gerard. My name's Mark Gerard Malusis. My initials are MGM, right? I did not realize that on my birth certificate, it says Mark Gerard Paul Malusis. I have two, like, there's like a little bit of a, so I have two, I have Gerard and Paul.
Okay.
Right? My confirmation name, and it would have been nice for my parents to tell me before I went through the confirmation process, was Paul.
So you're so, Mark Gerard Paul Malusis?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. By the way, voluntary mini camps are going on.
Good segue.
How do you segue away from that? And Odell Beckham Jr. is a proud member of the New York Giants, and their head coach Pat Shurmur yesterday, when addressing the media, did discuss that fact that he is going absolutely nowhere, and that they are happy to have Odell Beckham Jr. aboard. And we've also seen Andrew Luck at practice for the Indianapolis Colts. And back at practice, right? Now you'd say, well, that's fantastic, right? The arm must be as healthy, must be throwing the ball all over the lot. No, no. Andrew Luck was back at practice wearing the customary red 12 jersey, as all quarterbacks wearing those red jerseys are doing over the course of practice. Don't hit me. And what did he do? He took snaps under center and handed the football off. Now, Chris Ballard, their general manager, Bogish, can say all he wants that he's on pace. But Andrew Luck can tell you all he wants that all systems, they're on pace, rehab process going well, no setbacks whatsoever. Until he actually throws a football, there is always going to be a question of where that shoulder is, because the last time Andrew Luck tried to throw a football was, which was during last football season in 2017, he could not throw a football without pain.
Yeah, get back to me when there's a pass. I mean, enough. And like this the celebratory tweet yesterday, look who's back.
Right, number he's handing 12. The football off and taking snaps.
In parentheses, only handoffs and snaps.
I mean, that it's a non-story. Just like that is much of a non-story, because it's great to see him taking snaps and behind center. That's all well and good, right? And he's putting the helmet on and the helmet fits. All fantastic for Andrew Luck. But that's as the non-story, just as we have mocked and made fun of everything surrounding the New England Patriots, right? So yesterday, the big breaking news out of Foxborough is this. Rob Gronkowski has confirmed to Bill Belichick that he's playing football, right, in 2018. He will be back playing tight end for the Patriots in 2018. Fantastic. Did you think he was going to be playing someplace else? Did you think he was going anywhere? It goes right in part and parcel with the Brady story. Well, Brady hasn't told us he is playing, so therefore, Bogish, he might not. Let's roll with that. Tom Brady hasn't told us definitively that he will, so therefore, he might not play. The whole Gronkowski-Brady playing, not playing idea in 2018 for the Patriots was a non-story, but people wasted columns, they wasted print, they wasted oxygen, they went on diatribes, everything and the like. Meanwhile, both guys will be back next year.
Weren't we at least a little, wasn't the door slightly open for Gronk doing something ridiculous other than football, being an action star or a motocross biker?
Gronkowski's a bird of a different feather. Yeah, and maybe, but we said
a tiny bit of news value in this one to me. A tiny bit. Brady's is nonsense. There was a slight possibility, and I could have been completely wrong, that Gronk chose to.
Did you really? What percentage?
Two.
In your mind? You're 2%.
Two.
So, and you thought that was worth all the coverage it got? 2% chance?
No, it wasn't. But it was coupled with the Brady weird inconsistency. So, for Gronk to say it yesterday, we can now move on and wait for Rampage 2 starring The Rock and Gronk at a future date. It's not coming anytime soon.
Well, I mean, it's great to be The Rock right now, right? He just had the birth of his latest child, right? And he's the biggest money-making actor in Hollywood.
And he took a picture. And this is amazing. He's in the hospital bed snuggling this beautiful little baby. It's a girl, I think. And my first thought was like, did he have the kid? Why is he in the hospital bed?
Maybe, well, if you're The Rock, you have your own room, and maybe you have two beds.
That's possible.
I mean, honestly, you're The Rock. Money talks.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
it. Your own wing.
Right.
The hospital comes to you.
Yeah, the hospital comes to you, right. I slept on a chair.
Recliner? Mine reclines.
Mine did recline.
Okay.
And then the nurse actually came to me, because I snore. I snore to the point where I tear the walls down, snore. And the nurse, after the first night of sleeping in the hospital room, said, that morning I was having my egg sandwich. The nurse came up to me and said, you know what, tonight she's probably not going to have the baby. So in order for her to get her rest, I think you should go home. I said, really? I said, but you'll call me if the labor begins. She goes, yeah, the snoring, we could hear it from the nurse's station. And your wife was very uncomfortable last night.
They didn't call in a consult for you? They didn't have send you an ear, nose, and throat person to have this checked out? Sir, while
you're like,
here.
I was like, well, listen, I do have a deviated septum. She's like, sir, I don't care. just get out.
I'm here for the baby.
Stop snoring. Honestly. But if you're The Rock, you get your own bed. I was sleeping on a reclining chair.
Yeah,
I was kicked out.
Sense.
You were on a reclining chair, right? So that's all well and good. But we get to The Rock conversation because we were talking about Gronkowski. Gronkowski is going to be playing football for the Pats in 2018, as will Tom Brady be playing for the Patriots in 2018. So all is well for Pat Nation, which I am now a proud member of.
That's right.
Congrats
on that.
Going into next football season. Thank you. The Dixie Cup was kind on that morning, pulling the Patriots out of the hat. Then you get to everything surrounding Baker Mayfield as the last. Now, I am a firm believer in doing your due diligence, right? Knowing what you're talking about. Having an understanding and a grasp, especially when you're trying to pitch yourself or pitch yourself to someplace else. Did you see what happened with Brett Favre's former agent or current agent, Buss Cook, and Baker Mayfield?
Yeah.
So here's how the story goes. Now, Mayfield's got a new docuseries, as we discussed on Facebook Watch, that's come out already, called Behind Baker, right, which followed him along. Now, Buss Cook is Brett Favre's agent. So on diehards.com, Mayfield, discussing the documentary, goes through this story with Buss Cook, right? And says this: every agent does the same thing. They give you their resume, what they're about, all this stuff. Finally, when he was about to give me a chance to talk, he asked me, mind you, this is Buss Cook, Favre's agent, who's trying to get Baker Mayfield to be his client. Due diligence now. Due diligence. So, when did Bob Stoops start recruiting you? Seriously. I mean, it is, Andrew, it is not that difficult if you are a believer and lover of Baker Mayfield as a college quarterback. It goes in the first paragraph of his college career. He was a walk-on at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
He was a walk-on at Oklahoma. Bob Stoops did not recruit him to Oklahoma. Stoops confirmed it the first year that he was walking on the team. He ended up earning the starting quarterback spot and turned himself into a Heisman Trophy winner. If you are Buss Cook and you're trying to sell yourself and say, I want to represent you.
I want 2% of you.
Right. I want 2 to 3% of you and your earnings moving forward. When did Stoops start recruiting you? How do you possibly answer that question? And I give Baker Mayfield credit. You know what he said? Gotta go, and hung up the phone. I would hang up the phone too.
Yeah. This is a fun draft. Him and Josh Rosen, I hope that they're good quarterbacks so they stay in the league and have to answer questions and give us answers like this. Because Josh Rosen got fired up yesterday on NFL Network with Andrew Siciliano. About not being the number one quarterback in the draft. I know the risk is there for them being too cocky, too whatever, but I love it. They're both good TV, they're both good radio, and I hope they're good football players so we can continue to enjoy guys who don't give us the cookie-cutter, vanilla non-answers and throwaway lines. These guys are good for the sport.
Well, Mayfield's never going to give you that, and you're right. And there are two birds of a different feather. I mean, Rosen at times may be a little bit too smart for his own good, and then Mayfield at times a little bit too emotional for his own good. Speaking of Rosen, he was on with Tiki and Tierney yesterday and talks about why he believes he's going to have the longest career of this 18 draft class.
I'm going to put absolutely every ounce and second of my time into ensuring that I succeed in the NFL. And there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that I'm going to be the last quarterback in this draft class standing when all is said and done, years down the road. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind.
And he said he also added that he's going to prove all the naysayers wrong, something that he has done his entire life.
My entire career, I've been the number two guy. I mean, I remember coming out of high school, Ricky Town was the number one dude. He was going to SC. He was gonna bring him back to the early 2000s. And I was the number two guy going to UCLA, and I'm still here. Blake Barnett, he was the Elite 11 MVP. He was the dude. He was going to go to Bama. He was going to continue the dynasty. I'm still here talking to you now. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, all these dudes. They're the number one dude. They're gonna kill it. They're gonna be the secret sauce in the NFL. And I'm positive. I promise you guys, I will persevere.
Now, you got to remember a little caveat to that. he was the number two high school prospect in the country, right? It wasn't like he was the number two high school prospect in the state of California. I mean, Josh Rosen was still well thought of. He might not have been as well thought of as Ricky Towns, who went to USC coming out of high school, but he was still a guy that when he stepped foot on that UCLA campus, and Bogus, you're a big college football guy as well, I mean, everybody couldn't wait to see what he did for Mora Jr. and the UCLA Bruins, but I get his point. Listen, everyone looks for motivation, and everyone looks to prove naysayers wrong and doubters wrong, and I understand where he's coming from, where he's not talked about a lot in this class, right? We talk about Josh Allen and his physical attributes. We talk about Mayfield and the competitive spirit and the fight and being the Heisman Trophy winner. People talk about the intriguing prospect that Lamar Jackson is. Everyone points to the Rose Bowl performance of Sam Darnold for USC against Penn State and how gigantic he was that day. And Rosen kind of gets put back in the shadows. I thought he came across well yesterday doing all the media that he did. And I think he's using that as a little bit of an edge and putting a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, I would be a bad GM because I was all in on drafting him after listening to him on our show at Tiki and Tierney and other places yesterday, saying that same answer over and over again, dropping Ricky Towne in the oil and moving through everybody and just, I'm going to be the last guy standing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Using dude often, which I'm a big fan of. I would have filled out the card for him right away. If I'm sitting on the clock here early and I've been debating back and forth, whether it's between quarterbacks or defensive end.
He came across really well.
Exactly. And good players, great players make motivation out of nothing. You know, the being dissed by Ricky Towns and whoever else he mentioned yesterday, if that's what gets him going,
Barnett, Alabama.
Fine by me. That's what you guys, Jordan did this. And I'm not saying he's Jordan, but if you look around and all of these guys are experts at making up reasons to be angry and go out and take it out on their opponents. So I loved hearing Josh Rosen yesterday.
And here's Rosen, because one of the complaints about Rosen has been, you know, rich family, how big of a motivator is football. He explained his I don't need football early on in his UCLA career. Let's take a listen.
Did I ever have to worry about whether there's going to be food on the table? No. And that's kind of why I said it my freshman year and saying that I don't absolutely need football, and 'cause it came from a place of sort of almost heartache for my teammates, seeing them sleep in the team room and having these tough upbringings.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Doesn't mean that he does not have an edge or does not mean he does not have a drive. And trust me, talking to a lot of general managers, talking to a lot of guys in the National Football League, that is something they do factor in when they look at motivation of a player. And the upbringing, and whether or not how much, Andrew, they're willing to lay on the line in order to be great, and the drive and the engine that's within. Because you could have all the physical gifts in the world. If you're not willing to go above and beyond and max out and give that 110% effort each and every day, that's going to hurt you in the draft process. And that does factor in. Anybody that says, oh, that's hogwash, guys don't look at that. Believe me, general managers and talent evaluators look at that because they want to make sure they're bringing in a guy that's not just talented, but is also supremely motivated and willing to do anything that they can do in order to be great.
I can't argue against the idea that there's a different motivation, a different push. If you're coming from nothing, a horrible neighborhood, a broken family, no money, if you're in a third world country, a downtrodden country, and you want to play Major League Baseball to get off an island to get into the United, you know, whatever it may be, that's a motivation that I can't feel because it wasn't my life. But I completely agree, and I can't argue against the fact that teams factor this into it as well. But to me, sometimes it can be a ridiculous argument against somebody to hold that if that's what you're going to nitpick Josh Rosen on. Then I think you're barking up the wrong tree. I think you're grasping at straws. Like it's something to think about for a second and then get your answer and move on. And I don't know that even he could get to be UCLA's quarterback if he was somehow unmotivated or not motivated enough.
Right. I don't disagree. Here's what you need to do. You have a conversation. We both extolled, and it's not just you and I. You hop on social media yesterday. I think Josh Rosen wowed a lot of people with his media tour and how he handled himself, right? So, and I certainly love the responses and what I heard locally in New York, what I heard nationally right here on CBS Sports Radio. There's no question about it. He came across really well. All you have to do is have a conversation. See, that's where you have to do your due diligence, something that Bus Cook did not do when he has that conversation with Baker Mayfield. You talk to Josh Rosen, and any kind of predetermination that you had about Rosen as an individual based on reports that you heard coming out of UCLA, if you have a sit down and have a conversation with the young man, he probably is able to dispel 99.9% of it by sitting down and talking to him.
I mean, I don't remember this well enough. Were we concerned about Eli Manning coming from Peyton Manning and from Archie Manning?
No, the concern about Eli Manning was he's never going to be as good as his brother.
Right. Not that
that was the concern.
He went to prep schools and Ole Miss and there was nothing.
Nothing.
It's a hit or miss thing. And sometimes it's real. And we've seen guys who we weren't concerned about going into the NFL. They get into the NFL, they get paid, and then they check out. I mean, money is a real thing, and it does affect your decisions along the way. We always have guys making business decisions and maybe, you know, laying off a big hit to stay healthy or staying out longer. So it's a conversation you should have. I think Josh Rosen has ended the conversation.
Yeah, and I'll
long
tell
before
you,
yesterday.
And I think yesterday, if I think for NFL fans that had concerns about him, and you, but I mean, GMs and scouts, they've made their decision about Rosen as a player regardless, right? So yesterday is not about them. But yesterday, I thought he came across really, really well and really helped out his own cause. 855-212-4CBS. Chargers GM Baker Mayfield, playbook response. Remember that? Baker did not feel the need to learn the Chargers playbook when they met up in Indianapolis at the scouting combine. Plus, could the Browns be looking at Baker number one overall? We get into that next. Taz of the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, yes, the NFL draft is almost here, and nobody covers it better than the NFL Network. Go behind the scenes and into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The 2018 NFL draft starts April 26th. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m., NFL Network and on Fox. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll get into the Chargers general manager's response to Baker Mayfield not knowing Los Angeles's playbook and the possibility of maybe Mayfield going number one overall to the Cleveland Browns. But AB, with another update. Good morning, Andrew. What's going on, bro?
Mark, Taz, good morning. The process has taken the Sixers to round two of the postseason for the first time since 2012.
Well, here's JJ down low to Ben. Simmons drives. Ball by James Johnson. No call. Out to Covington for three, and that's good. And the crowd erupts. Timeout, Miami. Ben Simmons with a dish. Covington with a three. Sixers by six. 8-0 run. Timeout, Heat. Sixers trying to set him home.
Tom McGinnis finishing strong on Sixers Radio. Philly won the third quarter, 34-20, and then the game, 104-91, knocking out the Heat in five games. Now they wait on the Bucks and Celtics. Boston took game five last night, 92-87, a series-low 16 points from Giannis Antetokounmpo, game six back in Milwaukee.
By the way, did you see Meek Mill was at the 76ers game?
Yeah, I'm mad at Taz for this being out today because I was way behind the Meek Mill story from the beginning.
Yeah, Siri is now coming on.
Siri's talking about that. Oh, because I said series low.
Oh, there you go.
And she thought I said Siri.
Yeah, there you go.
That was interesting.
Well done. Thank you for putting that
ruining
on low. Appreciate that.
But I can't control Siri's volume.
Oh, you cannot?
No,
even if
happens.
You put it on mute?
It's on vibrate. My phone's in radio mode.
Oh.
Siri just happens.
Isn't it airplane mode? Do you have a radio mode on your phone?
No, I mean, it's just vibrate. That's radio mode.
So you're mad at Taz about what, having Meek Mill?
I had
the game?
To know what was going on with Meek Mill. Not that I have
violated
anything against
his probation,
him.
Was in prison.
Yeah, I have only a certain amount of space in my brain for like pop culture, newsworthy things like that. And this is not a value judgment on whether or not he should have been in jail or not. Well, it's just I had enough.
Well, I don't know everything
Tristan
about the Meek
Thompson
Mill case.
Sleeping around and all this kind of nonsense. I didn't have Meek
That's
Mill
a
time.
Problem of a name right there. Truth Thompson.
Is it Truth or True?
Oh, is it True? No, it's True Thompson.
It's
You're right.
True, which true. Is the second True I know of. Sam Ponder's son is named True.
That's terrible.
Again, I think that'd be a good middle name.
True Ponder?
Her daughter has a name that's not regular.
That's her son's name. Sam Ponder's son's name is True.
I think it's, yeah.
So it's True Ponder.
Yes.
That's a terrible, I mean.
Her daughter's name is Scout from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Here's Joel Embiid discussing Meek Mill after the 76er game last night and the victory by Philadelphia as they marched on to the second round.
When he was in jail, I went to visit him, and he wasn't feeling good. You could tell he was trying to hold on. So to be here and to kind of like provide this opportunity for him, because he's been following us, and for him to kind of come to this type of game, and that was a closeout game, and we got the win. I was just happy.
Yeah, everyone's happy. Meek Mill out of prison, violated his probation, but back at watching 76ers basketball.
And as much as I love the Mets and the Rangers, would you want to go right to one of their games if you had been in jail for, he went in November, so that's what, almost 6 months basically?
Yes.
Would your first stop be a pro sporting event? Even
no, my first stop would probably be something I could not describe on the radio right now. And then I might take in some sports. Or have something
I might
to eat.
Like want some Wendy's before, like something good to eat, and then I get your conjugal visit reference,
yes.
And then we can talk Sixers Game 5,
right?
And maybe in between that, all of those things happen. Maybe
right.
You know, there was a helicopter ride and a car.
But you gotta remember, Meek Mill's in prison for 6 months after violating his probation. Robert Kraft is visiting him. Joel Embiid.
Again.
I mean, star after star after star is visiting him. So. Is it really to be, if you're Meek Mill, you're having all these iconic guys visiting you while you're in jail?
And I mean, again, here's me in the dark on everything Meek Mill related, and yet Robert Kraft is visiting.
Yeah.
The Sixers sent their owner in a helicopter to get him and bring him to town last night. And I got nothing, and I don't want to know what happened, but now I've got to know what happened.
Well, you've got to do your due diligence, right?
I do my prep work. I am a professional.
You've got to do your prep work and find out exactly, so educate yourself and have an understanding of what exactly Meek Mill did wrong
right.
In terms of why he found himself in prison.
And why everyone was on his side and wanted him to get out.
Right, correct.
Had Taz been off yesterday or tomorrow, I could have stayed in my beautiful Meek Mill ignorance bliss.
Well,
but no.
And to play to your point, no, I don't think the first thing, if I was ever, and heaven forbid, I am ever in prison, that ever transpires. But if I ever happen to go into jail and I get out after 6 or 8 months, I don't think my first stop would be going to a sporting event. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
It's a solid hot take this morning from Andrew Bogish.
If Jeff Wilpon's helicopter came to get me at Sing Sing, I'm like, Jeffy, I love you, and I love your Mets.
Yes, but you're not
get
going.
Get through the NLDS. I'll see you in the LCS. I got other places to go tonight.
There you go. And as you were saying, Boston victorious last night, right?
Yeah, that's back to the update. Where were we? Oh, yeah, the Warriors beat the Spurs 99-91 in their Game 5. So that series is over. 25 points from Kevin Durant, 24 from Klay Thompson, 17 and 19 rebounds from Draymond Green. Firepower the Spurs never could match, says Manu Ginobili.
As I said multiple times, we were lacking scoring talent in this series, and they don't.
Ginobili and Dwayne Wade both non-committal about their futures after their seasons ended last night. A quartet of Game 5s tonight, starting at 7 Eastern with the Raptors and Wizards back in Toronto and the Cavs and Pacers back in Cleveland. Those series 2-2. The Rockets can close out the T-Wolves in Houston. The Jazz can close out the Thunder in OKC, both tipping shortly after 9:30. The Chicago Cubs back in Cleveland for the first time since winning the World Series 2 years ago.
Schwarber drives one in the air to right field. If it's fair, it's a long home run. Get out the tape measure, long gone. His second home run of the game.
That's Pat Hughes on Cubs Radio. Schwarber with two of his team's four solo shots in a 10-3 win at the Old Jake. The Angels matching the franchise record with an 11th straight road win, 8-7 in Houston. Shohei Ohtani, though, his second straight shaky start. Four runs on 6 hits and 5 walks over 5 1/3. The Jays top the Red Sox 4-3-10 on a Curtis Granderson homer, and the Yankees down the Twins 8-3 for their season-high fourth straight win. And the NHL has set the start times for Game 1 in Round 2. Pens, Caps, Sharks, Golden Knights begin tomorrow. Jets, Predators on Friday. But first, Game 7 for the Leafs and Bruins tonight in Boston. Someone will play the Lightning in Game 1 on Saturday.
So Oklahoma quarterback and top NFL prospect Baker Mayfield has certainly been a massive talking point leading up until tomorrow night's first round of the NFL draft. Where is he going to end up? Where is he going to go? We'll get to the Brown saga and that storyline here momentarily. But earlier on in the draft process, there was a story with Mayfield involving the Los Angeles Chargers. So let me provide a little bit of the background to it. So offensive coordinator Ken Whisenhunt, several Chargers staffers, before Mayfield's pro day in Oklahoma last month, took him out to lunch. Before that, the team had sent Mayfield several plays that they wanted Baker to learn before the lunch meeting so that they could then talk about said plays and maybe then he could run through the progressions and what everybody needs to do on a particular play. Basically, you know, common stuff for an NFL quarterback, right? So Mayfield admitted when he was being interviewed by Sports Illustrated that the lunch didn't go all that well because he didn't look at their playbook as much as he should have. It could have gotten a little bit better, but at the same time, I'm prioritizing which playbooks I'm going to learn. No offense to the Chargers, but I've got a lot on my plate. Now, Chargers GM Tom Telesco, you're seeing the general managers before tomorrow night's first round of the NFL draft across the National Football League meet with the media and give kind of a state of the union before the draft process and the NFL draft finally gets underway. Tom Telesco on Monday out in Los Angeles met with the media, and he was asked a question by Dan Wolke of the Los Angeles Times. Basically, what was his response to Mayfield's comments in Sports Illustrated? His response, AB, I'm probably not prepared to comment on that. My plate's pretty full. No offense, Dan.
I love it.
That's a great response.
It's a great response.
That's
one of the ways, shame on Baker Mayfield. I mean, think about things, go over the playbook a little more. Maybe don't tell us you didn't think about it.
Yeah.
I get it. You don't assume you're going to be there for the Chargers later in the draft. I get it. Okay, fine. But don't tell me you'd kind of
Do your due diligence because you never know what's going to happen. You might not think you're going to end up being a Buffalo Bill, but
maybe
say if the Buffalo Bills trade up to the number one overall pick, for argument's sake. Say if they trade up with the Giants, the number two pick. Say the Los Angeles Chargers did that. You never know potentially where you might end up. And what other job do you have to do but other than work out and try and impress during the interview process when you're talking to all these NFL teams? That's the only job you have at hand right now if you're Baker Mayfield. So it's a terrible job by him, and it's a great response by the Chargers general manager. And with that being said, I'll tell you, I feel for the Cleveland Browns fans. I really do, because if some of the reports coming out of Cleveland right now, Bogus, are true, that they might consider taking Mayfield number one overall. And I like Mayfield as a prospect. Do you?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're both in agreement. Taz does. I think everyone loves the personality of Mayfield, watching him play at Oklahoma, and think that his game, as long as you adapt, adjust your offense, he could play in the National Football League.
I have my concerns.
Right. I get it. Your main concern is what?
Honestly, his height.
Okay. So if he was 6'3", then you would say he would be the best quarterback prospect in this draft?
Here's how I see it. I think Darnold and Rosen, to me, that's where my most confidence lies. Now, I don't think that they're necessarily all-timers, but I think both of those guys are quarterbacks that can play soon and can play for a long time in the NFL. Then the doubt starts to creep in, first to Mayfield, then to Lamar Jackson, then to Josh Allen, and that's the order I'm going with on purpose. And I think that there are some things, as silly as measurements and three-cone drills and hand size are, there is at times kind of some football science in those numbers, and I still don't feel comfortable comparing short quarterbacks to Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. Those guys, to me, are the exceptions to the fact that it's tough to see around and through defenses and defensive lines and the line of scrimmage when you're only 6 feet tall, and Baker Mayfield's not as tall as I would like him to be, and I can't be 100% sure that he can figure that out in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's fair, especially when you look at bigger, faster, stronger, the evolution of the offensive linemen, 6'6", 6'8". I mean, there used to be an argument where you look at left tackles, right tackles, and those are the guys that were like 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", but now you're seeing guards that are 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", right? I mean, potentially the Giants – even though he hasn't shown up to voluntary minicamp, the Giants might move Eric Flowers if he doesn't work out a right tackle, if he shows up for the team at some point this offseason. They might decide to move him inside, or Eric Flowers, if his future, and it probably won't be, is not with the Giants, maybe he moves inside, and that's a mountain of a man at 6'8", and he might be playing guard. I mean, so Leonard Davis, years ago, right, was a big tackle coming out of Texas, was 6'8". He ended up playing guard at 6'8". So there's a fair reservation or concern about Baker Mayfield with the 6-foot size. With that being said, you mentioned Rosen and Darnold. Wherever you go, there's no doubt that you might be a Mayfield lover. You might be a Mayfield believer. You might think Mayfield's going to be great. With all that being said, if you and the reports out of Cleveland are true, and I don't know what to read into it, then they might take Mayfield number one overall. Andrew, that's why the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. You can't, even if you think that he's the best of the group, you are not getting fair value for the player of drafting Baker Mayfield number one overall. You're just not, because that's not playing the draft process correctly. I look at the NFL draft, and it drives me crazy watching teams that reach for players. You never reach for a player. You trade back, add other assets, and then draft said player. I get the idea of reaching for a guy or drafting for need, to me, makes no sense. Regardless of where you are as an organization, you add more quality players, I think you're going to become a better football team. You can't draft Baker Mayfield, even if you think he's going to be the best. Then you trade back. You can't draft him number one overall.
Oh, but you can. And I think for a quarterback, there is no such thing as reaching. I really don't. I think that that position is so important that you can take a guy as far ahead of his actual value as you see fit to get him. And if he's going to solve that position for 8 to 10 years, you can't take him too high.
Well, let me ask you this. If a quarterback
figure everything else out.
Well, if a quarterback is a third round grade and you draft him in the first round, do you think that's a smart pick?
Guess what? If he's good and
but you're not playing if
he's good and you have no concerns, then no one will ever remember. They'll go, what a pick that was.
Well, but you can't take a guy that has got a third round grade in the first round.
If you took Kyle Laletta in the first round and Kyle Laletta starts for you for the next decade and keeps and gets you into playoff games and gets you near a Super Bowl, no one's going to go, well, you reach for him. They're going to go, that was a really smart pick to take him where you did.
No. They're going to say you reached for him. He's a great player. It worked out. No question about it. That's a great job by your talent evaluators recognizing what Laletta is and what he could be on the NFL level. But that's not playing the draft process correctly. If you have,
if you got your guy.
No, you get your guy.
The bottom line is making the pick work. If you make a good pick, nothing else matters.
I could add another quality player in the first round and then add said quarterback in round two. You may want to up jump two rounds. You can't up jump two rounds in the NFL draft. You can't do it.
But here's the problem. Your plan makes sense in a vacuum if it works, but you might not have the next chance to take your guy. What if somebody else thinks that he's that much better than he's being projected as, and they take him in round two instead of round three before you have your chance to come back around and get him? So that's why for that position in particular, and this applies to nothing else, not defensive end, not wide receiver, not cornerback, not left tackle, not running back. To me, there is no reaching for a quarterback.
See, I disagree. I do. I understand the importance of the quarterback spot. I do think that what Giants general manager Dave Gettleman said a couple years ago, you miss with a top five pick and draft a quarterback and he does not work out, you set your franchise back 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
I do agree with that. And I don't think you can reach for a player. Even if it works out, even if said player works out, I do think the idea of reaching and overdrafting guys, I think when push comes to shove long term, you're going to do a great injustice to your organization. But with that being said, you could see the Browns draft Mayfield number one overall. I can't.
I can see them as the Browns doing a lot of different things that wouldn't make sense. I think, again, reapplying my logic, I see your point. Like if they've decided that Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback in this draft, and which is not a completely outlandish conclusion to get to, and they want to make sure that they can get him, then take him at number one.
See, I think it's more of a reaction of the report coming out of Cleveland is a more reaction of the report that came down a day and a half earlier out of New York from Rich Cimini from ESPN.com that the Jets were between Rosen and Baker Mayfield with the third overall pick. And that there are some that believe that Todd Bowles is enamored with Baker Mayfield. I think there's that idea of maybe the Cleveland Browns, if they're not sold on drafting a guy number one overall, then maybe they could procure another asset from, say, the Jets by throwing it out there that they would consider drafting Mayfield third overall and throwing that idea out there to maybe get Mike Maccagnan and the Jets organization, who already moved from 6-3 in a trade with Indianapolis, now right. to move from 3-1 with the Cleveland Browns and give up a future asset in order to maybe get their guy that they foresee as the number one quarterback in this draft class. And if the Jets drafted Mayfield number one, I think they're insane.
Well, and that would be great work by Cleveland. If they're gaming the system, more power to them, that's how this thing works. But if we're going back to them just simply deciding that Baker Mayfield's the best quarterback in the draft, take him at number one, eliminate all risk of somebody gaming you and getting him before you do. Like, what if you do trade back to three and you think you're safe because you think the Giants would never pick Mayfield before Barkley or Chubb or Darnold or Rosen, but then they do, and now you're at three.
And you don't get your guy.
And you don't get the guy that you want. Now, again, extrapolating farther, Darnold and Rosen, to me, if they're on the board there, or Chubb or Barkley, are not bad fallback options. But if Baker Mayfield's my guy at that position, I'm okay staying at one and taking him.
We want to hear from
sure
you.
I got him.
At 855-212-4227, who do you agree with, AB or myself? Is there such an idea as reaching for a quarterback in the first round? Most important position in the National Football League. 855-212-4227. And one Broncos player does not want the team to draft a quarterback. We'll tell you who said it. We'll do that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning on CBS Sports Radio. No Taz, he's off today. He'll be back with us tomorrow morning. AB is sitting in. Mark Melusis with you as well. Coming up at shortly, a little less than 10 minutes from now, we're going to talk a little Giants football, as they are a big player in tomorrow night's first round of the NFL draft. Dave Gettleman has speculated, you know, draft the best possible player. His job as general manager there is to draft a guy that at some point in time is going to be wearing the gold jacket and be enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Is also thrown out there the possibility of trades. It seems to be a common held belief that the Giants are not going to be drafting a quarterback. And then you've got everything and anything surrounding Odell Beckham Jr., who showed up at voluntary minicamp, obviously in search of a new contract, AB. But all is well right now with Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants. And as Pat Shurmur said, absolutely, he's a part of our team.
Isn't it nice when you have no other options?
Right.
When you run out of places that might trade for you or
yes.
want you. It's like, hey, Giants. What's up, Coach Pat? Here I am. Good to see everybody.
Well, that's exactly right. And listen, they weren't. Did you really think they were going to trade Beckham?
I certainly hope that they didn't. But not being in those rooms, not knowing how far apart they were, not knowing how annoying he might be on a day-to-day basis with a new GM, I didn't think it was completely impossible.
Now, I'll ask you this question. If you had to venture a guess, which Broncos player does not want John Elway to draft a quarterback with the number five
pick? Case Keenum. Brock Osweiler.
No. Biseglia, do you have a guess?
I know the answer. I can't play along.
Connor Green?
Is it Von Miller?
No, but a defensive player.
You're getting warmer.
You're getting warmer. It's a defensive player. How about Chris Harris saying, we're trying to win now. Don't draft a quarterback. Right. That's basically it. I'm old. I don't have much time left. Please, don't draft a guy we're going to be developing for the next 3-4 years. I won't be in the NFL at that stage. We'll see. Listen, nothing could be more awkward than when Elway's meeting with Baker Mayfield and in steps Case Keenum when they're having lunch. Talk to Pat Leonard, Daily News, a little Giant football coming your way next. CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.